Hi, kids. This is Derek Knight of SetOfCheese.com. Have you ever had one of those days where things just don't go quite the way you planned? Well, that's kind of how my night has gone. I was trying to edit together the big Set of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour for your listening enjoyment, and an error occurred, and I lost everything. All of the files, gone. All the sound files, gone. So, no episode this week, but I gotta upload something. So, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna half-ass a best-of show. And I know, even-numbered shows, big event shows, like your year. That's when you're supposed to do the best-ofs. Well, guess what? Episode 37, gonna be the best-of. Before we get to that, though, there's something that I want to talk to you about. And this was supposed to be at the intro of this week's podcast, but of course, as you know, all that audio was lost. But what I want to talk to you about is custom audio greetings. Now, I know this doesn't inspire a lot of confidence since I just lost all the audio from the spiel about custom audio greetings, but I'm going to redo it, and unfortunately, I don't have Colin with me, so I'm just going to kind of have to fly through it without him, even though the script called for both of us. So, ready? Good. Here we go. Hello and welcome to the Set of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight, not with Colin Burton right now. Individually, we maintain what are called blogs. Mine can be located at setofcheese.com, Colin's at fizzleandpop.com. Together, we host this little podcast that you're currently listening to. What you may not know, though, is that by listening to this podcast, you're part of a very exclusive club. See, every week, you're joining possibly 5+ other people in downloading and listening to this program. Now, don't get the wrong idea. Our listenership numbers aren't small because we only let in a better class people. On the contrary, anyone with access to the internet is welcome to listen. Our numbers are small simply because not too many people know that we exist. In fact, we may be better off not existing. Case in point, thousands of people each year visit Loch Ness in Scotland, hoping to catch a glimpse of some driftwood that they can panic about and call a monster, and at the same time, only a small handful of people find us intentionally. We're not bitter, though. In fact, we're probably better off this way. Anyhow, limited listenership aside, we're launching a new feature here on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour, and you, dear listener, are the first to know about it. That's right. In the spirit of endeavors from significantly more famous and successful individuals, we're now offering custom audio greetings for your loved ones or even your hated ones. Here's how it works. You can email me at Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at sonofcheese.com and tell me the who, the what, and the why, and we'll record it, no charge, up to a one-minute segment for you to share with your loved one. The resultant sound file will be delivered electronically to you in a convenient MP3 format. It's perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, quinceañeras, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, wakes, funerals, or any other special occasion that you can dream up. We're going to help you celebrate the only way we know how, that is, of course, if you even need help celebrating from two completely unknown podcasters. And I'd love to do the sample of how it works, but I really kind of need Colin here for that. Anyway, just remember, custom audio greetings could be yours if you want them to be. Email me at Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at sonofcheese.com. And now, on with the best of show. Keel-minor, mild-mannered, heavy sigh, Colin. Apparently has done something so heinous to another human being. He has perpetuated evil on another human being.
Yeah.
Set the stage. How old were you?
This would be third grade, so 9.
I'm not good at
eight
math.
8 or 9, yeah. 8 or 9. There was a kid in my class that took a lot of teasing and...
So you were just happy it wasn't you.
Pretty much, yeah.
And like, thank God there's some kid that gets made fun of more than me. I always looked for that kid. He was my best friend, but I wouldn't hang out with him. But he was my best friend because he took some heat off of me.
Well, now, he wasn't my best friend. His main problem was he was on crutches.
Out of the curve, kid!
No, it gets worse than that. It really does get worse than that, and it is something to be clearly ashamed of.
I know they're easy targets, they can't get away, but that's just...
Did you kick his crutches out from under him?
Yeah.
Okay. The class is making fun of the crippled kid, you're just happy it's not.
Yeah, he was a little crippled kid, and he was actually a pretty decent kid, but, you know, to fit in with the other kids, I felt I needed to be cruel to him, too, and he was coming along behind me, and I stuck at my foot, and down he went. I took out a crippled kid. I kicked the crutches out from under a crippled kid. In my defense, again, I wasn't an adult doing this. I was a kid doing this.
There is no defense.
There is a defense.
There is defending this.
I mean, at least peer pressure.
Oh, my God, Colin. You know,
I felt so bad.
Shut up. I was justified. I spit on that bitch and she had it coming. He spit on his sister.
You're saying you were justified. You never justified to spit on anybody.
You kicked the crutches out from under poor Tiny Tim because you thought that the other kids wanted you to do it.
They did. They laughed.
Enough?
No, exactly. I grew out of that, didn't I?
They did, and they laughed. It was the. I felt so.
No, I felt actually. I felt horrible. They were laughing, and I felt horrible. And the look on his face was.
please help me out. Okay, please. And you're like, screw you, Pat.
No,
I'm the man.
No,
nah.
See. No, I felt really bad.
Pointed.
I was going to say you probably kicked his crutches away after that. After
yeah. Kicked him down. And then, hey, crawl to him, huh? Crawl to him.
I didn't.
But you regret. This is.
Oh yes, this is one that I carry with me, and I no longer kick the crutches out from underneath crippled people.
Yeah, I kind of learned my lesson. That it didn't bring me as much joy as I thought.
Well, exactly. I mean, I could have remained a bully. It could have blossomed on from there, and it didn't.
No, you would probably. I think you kind of have to lift weights at some point to be a bully.
So, Dad. Do you ever like the horror movie?
You know what? I started in the movie theaters in 1967, and I've seen a million movies. At the drive-ins, we used to have Horrorama. I drink your blood, I eat your skin, and we'd have four or five movies dusted on. And the only two movies that I can think of that actually made me step back and go, who, was Blackula.
Blackula?
True story. He made it seem so real.
Thank you, guys. Can you believe it? You actually said Blackula.
Blackula.
There's a
Blackula. There's a scene in that movie. It was at the old Chief Theater downtown, which was haunted anyway.
Yeah, that was.
And there's a scene where he floats with this evil look on his face towards his prey, and it's just like, whoa. And then The Exorcist, kind of, because when that came out, when we was running The Exorcist at the old Peak Theater downtown, and this was probably in the 70s, and people were passing out, throwing up. I mean, and I think a lot of it was, but one of the scenes that really freaked me out is when she looks and she talks in that deep voice, and she has a little angelic face, and she's talking in this devil voice, and then, you know, her head turns completely around, and it was just kind of spooky. Carrie, an hour and a half of just total crap for 2 minutes at the end.
Except you get the line, they can see your dirty pillows from Carrie.
Yeah.
And, with you know, that's a classic.
What?
You were going to say something.
Yeah, but now I forgot.
Okay. Well, anyway, the weird, ugly girls that call the radio station. There was this guy named Mike Shaver. Now, Mike Shaver worked at KSPZ.
The man was a psycho.
Well, I think I might know him. I think in some way I might know. That
sounds
very
check this,
familiar.
Is
okay,
he totally psychotic?
Well, you tell me after. You tell me afterward if you know him. Mike Shaver was a tall individual, looked kind of like a newscaster. He had dark hair, wore glasses.
Right, thick glasses.
Thick frames. And he was, he had been hired, he had come from somewhere in Ohio, I think, or Illinois. He had been hired to do the overnights on KSPZ some years back. And he had a very deep voice. He had a very good voice for radio, but he was a complete idiot. And the only reason he was there was because he loved it when the weird girls would call him. And he would take it one step further. He would go out with them.
Yeah.
He was a slut whore. He would, as long as it wasn't in a wheelchair or an amputee or just like completely retarded, he would go to bed with it.
Yeah.
And so then, and at the time there was also a guy working at KVU named Rob. And Rob was just a drunk, but he ran a karaoke show. He worked for Limelight Karaoke. And so I would go up to his karaoke show at this gay bar on Fillmore. And Mike Shaver would be there, and he'd sing. And so I had some interaction with him outside of the radio station, not that I wanted. That was one of the things Rob said. He said, yeah, if it's not in a wheelchair, Michael hit it. And like, so he has no standards. No, my God, no. These girls call him up, and he brings him into the studio. And one time I took over from him, and he had this really ugly girl in the studio. And I was like, man, what are you doing? You're not allowed to have people in here. And he's like, oh, she's a friend. She's leaving right now. So anyway, he leaves town just abruptly, just like, boom, abruptly leaves town.
He got fired.
He got fired, but then he left town, abruptly left town. And so... I'm going to illustrate some very poor judgment on my part with this next story. So not long after he leaves town, this girl calls me up looking for Mike Shaver. I said, well, he left. He's gone.
Oh, he broke my heart. I really want to tell him what an asshole he was. And but you sound nice.
And I was bored, so I chatted with her.
See what I'm talking about here?
Yes.
See what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Prove the point here, didn't we?
Right. And so I chatted with her for a little bit, and she continued to call me and bug me and say, we have to meet, we have to meet, we have to meet. And I was like, I don't really know if I should. But I finally agreed to meet her at the Chapel Hills Mall. But I took along a friend of mine, Ryan Basso, man who's hydrocephalic, got a really big head.
Frog.
He drove. We were supposed to meet in the food court, and then the plan was maybe do something, maybe see a movie. So I'm, you know, sitting in the food court with Frog, scoping out all the girls, because I'm thinking any one of them could be her. And I'm really hoping it's a couple of them. You know, I'm like, that one's not bad. All right, please be that one. So then this cross-eyed, fucked up, drool coming out of the left side of her mouth girl walks up to me.
Oh, that's her.
Are you Garrick?
No.
And I was, oh my God, what do I say? And so Ryan looks at me and he's like, yeah, tell her. he's probably enjoying the hell out of this. So I was like, yeah, nice to meet you. In tow, she has her ugly, toothless mother and this retarded child of hers. And I don't mean retarded like he's special. I mean, he's just a stupid kid. I mean, you know, maybe that's the wrong word, but he was a retarded kid.
He's retarded.
So I'm thinking, this is really working out well. So the plan then was, she said, well, let's see a movie. So I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. You wait here, and Ryan and I will go get the tickets.
Uh-huh. And how quickly did you get out of the mall?
I got over to the movie theater, and there was a huge crowd there, and I looked up at the marquee, and I said, Ryan, you want to run? Let's go! Took off like a bat out of hell, running. But the problem was, we parked over by Sears, and we came out of the movie theater at the Chapel Hills Mall, which is on the complete other side of the mall. And the thing was, her mom was going to leave and go somewhere for the couple hours at the movie, so we're running through the parking lot, and Ryan can't run real well, but I just was like,
with a name like Frog, you can't.
Yeah, well, he had a limp, and so we're running as fast as he can go. And every car I think, I'm like, God, that could be the mother. That could be the mother. She'll run me down. And he finally just threw me the keys. Save yourself. And I caught the keys, and I ran to the car, and I came back and picked him up, and yes, we were fucking gone. And so she sat in that mall for 2 hours waiting for me, you know, waiting for her mother to come back. At least a half an hour waiting for me to come back. Oh, yeah, completely cruel. Run to the hills. And she called me up a couple days later on the radio when I was on.
I wanted to roast you.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
Click.
Yeah, thanks.
You're an asshole. Click.
I got a story for you.
Mexicans aren't hitting me with anymore. This is a good day.
Yeah, and so I didn't have any trouble with him in the future. But
apparently you had trouble with a girl at one point that you beat up with a chain. Now, is this like a scene from Cape Fear where you beat her up with a bike chain? Well, I mean, what's going on?
This happened in sixth grade.
Sixth grade. So
and,
you're carrying chains to school in sixth grade.
No. We were actually we were actually outside because they were doing renovations at North, and so we were going to school at Horace Mann.
Okay.
It was Horace Mann, and we were outside in portable buildings. And there were these two metal concrete-filled posts so cars couldn't get through, and there'd be a chain between them so cars couldn't drive through. And it was unchanged.
Through. Give him the stick. Don't give him the stick.
Anyway, the chain was off and coiled up, and these kids were playing with it. It was like 12 of us, and they were spinning around and stuff.
Yeah. It wasn't me. It was the other 12 kids.
Well, no. Everyone was spinning it around and playing with it and just being dumb. And
Just don't back up into them.
Well,
anyway, Colin's breaking the 45s that are on the wall here in Studio de Chevalier.
Accidentally.
Anyway, go ahead, Trevor.
Oh, well. So I get it, and I'm spinning it around, and this girl's like, it's my turn, and runs at me, and catches it right in the head.
it's my turn for serious head trauma. It's my turn. What the hell? What? Now, wait, no, go back. What kind of game were you playing?
It wasn't a game.
All of a sudden, she decided it was her turn. Was this, like, the prison version of Annie, or Red Rover? Red Rover, try and break through the chain, bitch.
Well, she, I don't even really remember, but there was no game. It was I don't even understand why there wasn't a teacher there, but
it was her
we were unsupervised.
To get the shit kicked out of her.
And here's the fun part to mention about the story is that we were in the IB program for the advanced kids.
So not only you're the Mensa candidates beating the crap out of people.
Well, it's all of us
you understood. You understood the physics of the situation.
Well, she should have too, because my impression is she was advanced as well.
Obviously, one slipped through the cracks.
Anyway, she gets hit in the chain,
she gets hit in the chain. Where exactly is that?
She gets hit.
Is that near the pie wagon? Chain. Chain. So, okay, so she gets. Does she take the chain?
Like in the temple. I would say in the temple forehead region.
Right where the brain is stored.
Oh my god.
That's where you want to aim. Exactly.
There was no aim.
You catch it in the side, yeah, maybe your rib. But you catch it in the head. That's comedy.
And as Trevor points out, there was no aim. He's a naturalist. That's hitting people in the heads with chains.
First try, baby. First try.
Well,
I didn't even need practice.
I was horrified. She went down.
It's not like one in the neck, one in the ear, one in the temple. First try, temple.
She went down. Oh, yeah. And she's weeping. And I'm worried about her, but at the moment I'm more worried about myself.
Well, sure, because you've already been through this once before. Fill this cup up with your spit, boy.
Yeah. Take this chain to the head about five times. Hit yourself in the head.
How you like it.
And all her friends are like, oh my god, and they run over and they're comforting her, and all the guys are like, oh my god, why did you do that? And I'm like, I didn't do it. It was an accident. She ran at me, and they're all like,
oh my god, she's coming right for us. She provoked me.
Can you feel the sympathy?
They're all like, well, yeah, that's true.
We see your point, but maybe just push her away.
Well, this chain was really long, so I'm thinking he had a lot of momentum built up, too. I'm surprised she was conscious.
And they asked her the same questions in triage.
No, here is the best part. Nothing ever came of this. I never got a talking to.
You know why? She forgot. What the hell happened?
Yeah, her eyes are no longer straight.
And she's no longer in the advanced class. She's working with the albino down at Burger King and Long John Silver's, frying up your fish. Hey, what up, cross eye? We need to drop some fries there, Winky.
Nothing ever came of this. No, I never got in trouble. I never got a talking to.
So what you're telling us is this was her bad karma coming back to haunt her.
I'm thinking because she was
merely an instrument of fate.
Yes, and I'm thinking that this was in the middle of the year, and I hadn't really had any classes with her, but I found out that she was a horrible person. So as it went on, I felt...
As it turns out, this was okay. She had it. That bitch had it coming.
He was the lightning that day.
That's right. Instrument of Jesus.
So I still feel bad in a way.
Sure. You always feel bad when you inadvertently punish somebody for their bad deeds. Well, you know, when I was going to school up in Denver, I went to the Denver Institute of Technology with...
You're the liar. You are a big liar.
But the best story that I think you've ever told me, and the big story that we're going to hear from you today, this one's all true, right?
This is true.
This is every word of it.
Every word.
Now, to set the scene, when you were quite young, you had yourself a problem. Sadly, from time to time, you wet the bed?
Yes, and I wasn't really young either.
Well, how young were you?
I was in the fourth grade.
Okay, so that makes you how old? I mean, I'm not good at math. That's nine?
Nine or ten.
Eight, nine? Eight or nine?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Were you held back at all?
No.
You said
I went to 2 years of kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
But that's because...
It was so much fun.
Yeah, yes. I had so much fun.
I had a ball in kindergarten when I wasn't wet in the bed and smoking my dad's cigarettes on the way to kindergarten.
So. You know, if I had done that, you would have killed me.
I would have killed you, but you're a boozer.
Well, we'll get to that later. But anyway, it was in fourth grade that your mom decided to take steps to correct this problem?
Yeah, she found this ad in a comic book. And it said, stop wetting the bed now. Are you the shame of the sleepovers? You can't go to summer camp. Stop sweating the bed 1,000. And so she called the number.
Sure, I'm sure she did.
And this,
so
guy,
this way you wouldn't be the shame of summer
that's
camp.
That's right. I would not. She didn't want me to be the shame of summer camp.
Well, because she wanted to send you to summer camp because she didn't want you around the house.
That's correct.
My okay. mother and it came with a free submarine.
And a free submarine.
X-ray goggles.
Yes.
Yes. And the guy showed up in a polyester suit with white socks and brown shoes. And he explained how it worked. And how it worked was a pad went under the sheets, and then the sheets went over this pad, and when you wet the bed at night, bells would go off. So you would, of course, have to wake up.
So this was supposed to, it was like the scared straight program for bedwetters?
It was like Pavlov's dog program.
Right, right, right. So essentially, you're just going to be so annoyed by this jolting awake of bells that you're eventually going to be conditioned?
Correct.
And so it really doesn't sound like that great of a method. I mean, that's just me saying that now.
This is 1958.
Okay, 59. All right, 58, 59. Modern technology hadn't really taken leaps and bounds. It was a space age almost, right?
But yeah. It was guaranteed bed waiting in 14 days.
All right.
Guaranteed.
I'm just thinking the Pavlov effect might be that every time a bell rings, you change your sheets.
And every time you wet the bed, an angel gets its wings.
Right.
Oh, man. I didn't know that. I'd still be wetting the bed.
So many angels.
So they did my brother first.
Oh, so your brother was having the same
problem. My brother was having the same problem. So they
maybe
did
it was what you guys
first.
Were eating for dinner or something.
Well, no, because it was 1,000 degrees in Grand Junction, Colorado.
So you drank
a pitcher of Kool-Aid before you went to bed.
Oh, okay.
And lazy to get up and go to the bathroom.
So
it was
like,
easier to wet the bed to have your mom change the sheets.
A couple hours later, you're dreaming of waterfalls and bam.
Yeah. So my brother did it first. What a pain in the butt. 2 o'clock in the morning, bells are going
so everybody's waking up.
Oh, everybody. My mother has to get up, change the sheets, tick that back under. But in about 10 days, my brother quit wetting the bed. So they let him go another 3 days and nothing. So they did me. They tucked the thing under my sheets. Unfortunately, I toss and turn.
Okay.
So I tossed and I turned, and the sheets came off of the pad.
Okay.
The pad came off of the device.
Uh-oh.
The device is metal. So when I wet the bed, this little blue flame comes shooting out right into my little weenie, shook me, hair stood on it, every freaking fuse in the house blew, and I set the record for not wetting the bed. One day. But unfortunately, I spent about a week in the hospital. So, no, that's not true. I didn't spend a week in, but that's a true story. And the guy... They called the man up, says, come get your things. Well, your son. She goes, nope, he's not wetting the bed no more.
Because he's not doing much of anything.
No, he's doing nothing anymore. In fact, his little weenie's bent. And to this day, my little weenie's bent.
Black.
Yeah. Has little black spots on it.
And I'm missing an eyebrow.
True story. Oh. Bedwetter 1000. I'm the world record holder of stop wetting the bed. I've wet the bed since.
You're a success story.
I am. And they wrote me up in the comic books for about a month.
Archie,
did they illustrate it?
It's like, that's worse than old Sparky at Attica or wherever that one was.
When I woke up and looked down, you could see the blue flame right up my little weenie. And I'm screaming. My mom's screaming. Pretty soon it went black. True story.
That hurts.
Hands are
so
up in
bad.
The air. True story.
And, yeah, like you said, you turned out all right. You don't wet the bed anymore. But
and we have a special guest on the telephone, an actual celebrity, at least in the Bay Area, Mike Slavko, a.k.a. M. Dung.
Hello, I.
Hey. You guys...
Everybody.
And we have a special guest in the studio. Somebody in this room is a published author. Not me, not it.
Not here.
Her name is Jennifer Carmichael, a.k.a. Jenny Valentine, a.k.a. June O'Leary. And she doesn't have a website, but that we know of. Well, you got a MySpace.
Yes, I have MySpace, www.myspace.jenniferthepixie, all one word.
Wouldn't that be myspace.com/jennifer the pixie? I mean, I just want the kids to be able to find you.
I don't know. You're confusing me. I've only been on here for a few seconds.
That's right. And already I'm throwing the hard questions your way. And with us also is Jennifer's husband, Justin Carmichael, from Emerald Hierophant.blogspot.com.
Hi, everybody.
And he's here.
here. We're here to talk about Jennifer's book, and Justin was the photographer he took the cover picture. Also in the room, I don't know if we're gonna if they're gonna be able to offer great insights. My sister Heather way across the room.
Hello.
And my dad Jess Knight.
I was a pixie once.
But you were young and you needed the money.
I need the money.
But anyway, Jennifer's book is called.
And I read a book once.
Yeah, Pocket Prayers, and under the nom de plume June O'Leary, and it's a book of poetry. Since none of us except for you are published authors, first off, when did you first start to have an interest in poetry?
High school. I originally wanted to be a novelist, but I tried to write my first novel.
Stage set up in the corner, and they do a lot of jazz and a lot of music there, and he thought it would be fun to have me come up there and do a little stand-up in between his sets.
So why don't you hit us with some of that stand-up right now?
You know, I could do my impression of Jerry Seinfeld at the age of 5, if you'd like.
I think that the kids listening would probably think that was groovy.
Okay. They probably won't get half of it. But anyway, you know, I was watching that show Sesame Street the other day. Have you seen this show? What's the deal with Snuffleupagus? There's nothing imaginary about the guy. I can see him. You can see him. We all can see him. Well, all of us, that is, except for Mr. Hooper.
Hooper.
How is it Mr. Hooper manages to lose his glasses every single time Snuffleupagus comes around? And how blind is the guy? I mean, there's a giant brown thing standing in front of you. It's not a house. It's not a car. It's not Oprah.
Suddenly we become the Bob and Tom show.
And Big Bird's no help.
Music.
I mean, you get Mr. Hooper and Snuffleupagus in the same place at the same time. Big Bird starts stuttering like Mel Tillis after a pot of coffee. And it just kind of goes on from there.
So that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. And I saw a video of you attempting to do a version of the Aristocrats joke as Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
But holding together an impression is one thing. I mean, we all have tried to do impressions, I'm sure, in the past. And, I did a 60-second spot for one of our dealers in Seattle, as Sean Connery. Right after the last 007 came out. And I'm trying to think, why do they want me to do Sean Connery? Why not Pierce Brosnan? I don't know, because Pierce Brosnan just sounds British. But how was it trying to hold together your impression of Bill Cosby?
It was very difficult.
Eventually, it ended up just being Pat Angelo's version of the Aristocrats joke, didn't it?
Essentially. I mean, the thing is, when you're trying to... The Seinfeld voice is relatively easy.
Yeah. That one's not that hard. He's exactly. Just a neurotic Jew guy.
Exactly.
But Bill Cosby voice, he's like a totally different race than you.
And
right?
If you get off on the wrong foot and, you know, your adrenaline's pumping, your throat's dry, and you're up on stage in front of all these people, yep. it didn't go very well.
And was that the only time that you ran over time and weren't allowed to finish?
So you never even got to the Aristocrats
part? You know him?
Yeah, so essentially what he was doing was saying piss,
was
shit, fuck,
so
without
being done.
Aristocrats.
So close to being done, I just couldn't quite get there. Yeah,
that's harsh. I missed that video. Though.
He's got it posted on
right.
At Angelo.
Yeah, it is on the blog also. Yeah, but the voice is horrible on there, so you know.
Well, hit us with a little bit of it and see if you can see how. see how long.
I don't remember it.
Well, I'm not talking about the joke. I'm just talking about let's hear some Bill Cosby.
Yeah. One of the things I thought was kind of funny, and let's see if I can get the voice to work right, was if Bill Cosby and Jerry Seinfeld were in the Silence of the Lambs.
All right.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
No, I'm not a big fan of lotion. You know, I got kind of an oily complexion, and it just doesn't work well with me.
It rubs a lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again. It's precious, it's going to get the hose.
I gotta work that out. But
See, I like to do that scene, but I like to do it just as the Buffalo Bill guy. Put the fucking lotion in the basket. It's like everything
you're doing it. It's like.
So there's that, kind of an impromptu best of show. Some of the clips that I felt were some of the best segments from the first 36 episodes of the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. If you stuck with it this long, thank you very much for listening. You know what? Hopefully we won't have that strange error ever happen again, and we'll be able to give you fresh new crap from here on out. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. On behalf of Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com, I bid you adieu from Studio D Chevalier. And next week, I guarantee a brand new episode of the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.